without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And this is the word of the Lord, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do ask for ears to hear and hearts to respond to your divine truth. We thank you for the testimony of Scripture and the testimony in our own hearts and lives as your people that Jesus Christ is indeed the Godhead who was veiled in flesh, the second person of the divine Trinity, fully God and fully man. Lord, we can't comprehend that, but we rejoice in the truth of it this morning and pray that as we continue to focus on him as ultimately the wisdom, capital W, from above, we will see also that as he abides in us and we abide in him, these same characteristics, these attributes will be replicated and repeated and manifested in each and every one of us as we walk with him. So again, we commit ourselves to you now, Lord, asking you to do in this hour what you're pleased to do. And whatever that might be, we'll be pleased and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is what I had said last week. I had felt led for us to stop and park on for the Advent season, this wonderful 17th verse, and noted as we began last week that Christ indeed is ultimately the wisdom from above. Proverbs 8 testifies to that very clearly. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians 1, 24 and 30, both places, Paul refers to Jesus as the wisdom of God. Now, I also said, and I mentioned that just now in my prayer, that when James gives this instruction, obviously his focus is, understand that when you get wisdom from above, these things will be true in your life. And I totally agree. That's obviously what he's talking about. But I would say, especially as we focus on this with a view to Christ, that they will only be true in us because Christ is in us. You see, if you have wisdom, it's not so much only that Jesus gave you wisdom, that Jesus in you is wisdom. And the same thing is true of all these other attributes. So last week, and we're taking these as they occur each Sunday as like a couplet each time, two descriptions together. So last week we looked at Christ being pure and peaceable. Today we look at the next couplet, that he is gentle and easy to be entreated. Now, but before we head on into that, let me remind us, look at the text again, because while I put pure and peaceable together last week, understand that the verse is saying that, first of all, Jesus Christ is pure, and because he's pure, then he's peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and etc. So while I put those two together, pure and peaceable, what it's actually saying is everything about these other characteristics of Christ flow from the fact that he is first and foremost absolutely, totally pure. Okay? Now, gentle and easy to be entreated. To make it a little bit easier for you, perhaps in outlining, the first being pure and peaceable, this is what I would call, secondly, his attributes of being gentle and approachable. Gentle and approachable. Easy to be entreated is a wonderful phrase in the Authorized Version because it shows that those who have great desire to petition God through Jesus Christ will find it that he is easy to be entreated. Now, have you ever prayed? I know you have. I have. Prayed and you felt like it was like trying to knock down a brick wall to get a hearing with God. Or as the proverbial saying is, I felt like my prayer bounced off the ceiling when I offered it up. Certainly we've all felt that way. That's why today is so important for us to realize that while we may sense that, and sometimes, many times we sense that because there's sin in our life we haven't dealt with, and so the Lord is saying, you need to take care of that first, you need to confess and repent, and then we will be on praying terms. That's certainly true. But even when we feel that, and as far as we know there's no known sin, we just feel like we're not in a spiritual temperament. You ever been there? You want to pray, you do pray, but you feel like, I'm kind of just saying words, it feels like to me. Understand that even in those times, this verse applied to Christ is telling us that he's always easy to be entreated. Easier, in other words, than we think or feel, okay? Easier than we think or feel. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, so let's start with the first word here, first of all, gentle. Jesus Christ is gentle. David says in Psalm 18:25, as he's praising God for all His mercies and blessings upon him, he says, "Thy gentleness has made me great." Isn't that an interesting statement? He doesn't say, "God, Your power made me great. Your strength made me a strong king, a defeater of the Philistines, one who was a man of war in battle." No, he says, "Your gentleness made me great." Now, no doubt God's power was exercised on David's behalf and through him. We know that, as it is with us when we need it. But David's focus is on God's gentleness, making him great, gentle. We have, of course, and I've said this before, and we all kind of think this way as Christians. We've been a Christian any length of time. We think of Jesus in His first coming, and we say He came as, so to speak, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, right? And so we say that was His first coming. And then His second coming, He comes in wrath and judgment. That's true. But we've got to remember, especially in regard to this, in regard to coming to Christ with our needs, with a need to commune with Him and to sense His presence and to offer our petitions to Him, we've got to remember that that gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is still that way toward His people. See, the fact that He will come back as the conquering King and judge the wicked and destroy all those opposers of the gospel doesn't change the fact that all along the way, and certainly when He returns, and for all eternity future, He's still always gentle with us. So, yes, gentle Jesus, meek and mild as far as the whole world was concerned when He came the first time, and Jesus as the King exercising wrath when He comes a second time, but for the people of God, Jesus always gentle. Always gentle. I have thought a lot about, in connection with this, what a pastor that I used to listen to a lot when I was in the car a lot in sales and listened to the radio all day long, Christian radio. And this one particular pastor, as he prayed each week, his prayer would vary, of course. It wasn't just rote, but he would end it with this statement. Before he got ready to teach the Bible, he would say, "We want to hear the soft sound of sandaled feet." Isn't that a beautiful picture? For the people of God, we want to hear the soft sound of sandaled feet. Focusing on the gentleness of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures. If you want to just jot these down for the sake of time and looking at them later rather than trying to follow on each one, that's perfectly fine. Begin in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. The prophecy of the coming Messiah in verse 11 regarding Jesus says, "He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall," listen to the next word, "gently lead those that are with young." In fact, at the beginning of the chapter, the very first words out of the prophet's mouth through what he says for God are, comfort ye my people. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. That is, speak in a way that comforts their hearts. Why? Because for them, the Messiah will not come in avenging wrath and power. He will come gentle. He will come nurturing. He will come loving and caring for. Chapter 42 of Isaiah, in verse 3, "A bruised reed shall the Messiah not break, and the smoking flax shall He not quench." Now, a bruised reed, in the literal sense, by reeds by a pond, if it's bruised and bent, that's very easy to break. It doesn't. A child can do that very easily. And the same way with the smoking flax, if there's kind of a little bit of a red glow, but it's mostly smoke, it doesn't take but a blow or quickly press the fingers together on it, and it's extinguished. And here, Jehovah says, when My servant, capital S, comes, He will not break the bruised reed. He will not quench the smoking flax. Now, that's not a promise to the wicked, folks. That's a promise to His people. That's a promise to the redeemed. Because Jesus is gentle with us. As an aside, I would greatly commend to you to read a work by, and you can find it online, I'm sure, by the Puritan Richard Sibbes called The Bruised Reed. It is a wonderfully encouraging set of sermons on just that one statement. gentle Jesus. And most of the gentleness of Jesus is, as I've already seen, we've already seen in Isaiah 40, under the figure and the illustration of Him as the shepherd, right? That's how we usually see it. In John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. And throughout that entire chapter, of course, as you know, Jesus talks about how He, as the shepherd, He's the door. He's the shepherd. He cares for the sheep. The sheep that come in through Him go in and out and find pasture. Refers back to Psalm 23, doesn't it? He leads me beside still waters. He leads me into green pastures, right? So the imagery of Christ as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, is connected with His gentleness. That picture again in Isaiah 40:11 as He gathers the lambs to His bosom and carries them. See, listen, dear ones, He is always doing that with you and me. He's always doing that. We don't always experience it. That's our fault. That's our weakness. That's our failure. That's our sins many times. But never mistake the fact that in your most unreligious day, in your most unspiritual feeling and thinking and temperament, Christ is still gently carrying you in His bosom. He's always doing that. He never determines evil toward His children, but only good. And even when we suffer the most heart-rending and difficult trials and afflictions in this life, still we are held close to the bosom of our shepherd. Always. There's never a time when we are out of His loving arms. 1 Peter 2:25, Peter says, "You were a sheep going astray before God claimed you and brought you in, but now you are returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Jesus is gentle. He's gentle. A quick survey of the gospel accounts makes us realize that as He dealt with sinners who knew themselves to be sinners and saw their need for Him, He was gentle, right? The woman caught in adultery, listen, He had every biblical right and reason according to the Old Testament law to say, "Let me have a stone. Let me join you fellas." But what'd He say? If anybody here doesn't have sin, go ahead, throw the stone. They all left. Jesus did not say, "You are going to hell for the way you live." Now she would have if she'd continued. We know that's true. But what'd He say? "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." Gentle. Now, when He dealt with a hypocritical religious crowd, there's a different temperament, wasn't it? In different words. Snakes, brood of vipers. But to those who owned themselves to be sinners, to those who knew what they were and knew what they needed, as He said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And He came gently, lovingly. He is indeed the Prince of Peace, and that's not only held off until He returns and establishes peace forevermore in the whole universe. It'll be official, it'll be manifested to all then, yes. But He's always been the Prince of Peace for His people. So He's gentle. And then He is approachable. Easy to be entreated. In the Psalms, first of all in Psalm 6, verse 9, David very confidently says, "The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." Don't you like that? There's not any doubt in David's mind. When he offers his prayer, he doesn't say, "The Lord's heard me pray. I sure hope He listens. I sure hope He answers. I'm not sure if He will." No, "The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." Psalm 32 and verse 6, "For this," David says, "shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." And can I tell you something? For the child of God, there's never a time when he can't be found. Never a time when he can't be found. Gentle Jesus is approachable. He's always got His ear turned toward the cries and prayers. And yes, praises, let's don't forget that, of His people. Psalm 66 in verse 20. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Now, when David writes that, he certainly is a man who had plenty to deal with in his own heart that was not right. He had sin to deal with. He had disobedience to deal with. He had selfishness and pride and all those things we could list. And yet he says, blessed be God, He's not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. You say, well, what about the times when I can't feel or sense that God's hearing my prayer? Well, as Johnny Carter says, when you feel like you can't pray, pray. When you don't know if your prayers are being heard, pray. Pray. Because they are. And the more we, by faith, take hold of these promises of God, the more we will begin to sense that we are communicating with our Master. But even if you go through a long, dry season and you can't feel that, don't stop praying. Don't stop. Because, see, ultimately, it's not about how we feel. It's about what God has said. And so, the feelings are wonderful and we want them, but even when they're gone, the truth remains the same, that Jesus is gentle and approachable for His people. Always. He's never stiff-arming you, regardless what's going on in your life as a Christian. Never. Never. Matthew 7, verse 7, we know it well from the Sermon on the Mount. Ask, Jesus says, and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. He goes on and gives a very clear illustration. He says, are there any among you that their son came and asked for a fish, they'll give him a snake? Or wanted an egg to eat, give him a scorpion instead? So if you being evil can be easily entreated by your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father, who is all good, be entreated by you? How much more? Jesus is approachable. The gods of other religions, if they can be approached at all, usually are seen as requiring great sacrifice and even personal harm to be done and all sorts of offerings and whatnot to be brought before they can ever hope that that deity might hear them. And even if they do all that's commanded, they're still not sure. Not so with the one true God. Not so with Jesus Christ. He indeed is easy to be entreated. He is always turned toward us. I love Philippians 4:6. We referenced it not too long ago in the message. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. And as I mentioned that time before, let me say it again, the J.B. Phillips paraphrase of that is wonderful. Ron Dunn used to quote it that way all the time. Don't worry about anything and pray about everything. Don't worry about anything and pray about everything. Why? Because Jesus is approachable. He is easy to be entreated. And the thing that is so wonderful, dear ones, listen to me now, is that He knows what we need before we ask Him, doesn't He? He already knows. Now, that's not a truth that's designed to lead us to say, well, I don't have to ask. No. Because Jesus said what? Ask and you shall receive. In fact, if we get on over into chapter 4 of James, what is James going to say famously? What? You have not. Why? Because you ask not. I don't want to face the Lord. Not that I don't know that this scenario would even happen, but hypothetically, human thinking. I don't want to get before the Lord and Him say, you know, right here, this part in your life, you had this struggle or you had this desire and need, I would have done that, but you didn't ask. I don't know that that scenario would happen, but it helps me to think of it that way. Because it makes me realize that, again, what James says is so true. We have not because we ask not. And sometimes when we ask the wrong way, just to consume it in our own desire, our own personal fleshly desires, and not for His glory. That's what he means. But the point is still valid that Jesus hears. He always hears. His ear is always turned toward us. In 1 John chapter 5, I love this passage as well. Toward the end of his epistle, here John says, beginning in verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything..." Does your Bible say that? It does. "Anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us..." Now, see, if He stopped with 14, then, and according to our flesh and our weakness, we'd say, "Well, yeah, I know He hears me, but that doesn't mean He's going to answer." What does John say? "If we know that He hear us..." He's already told you that He does. "Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." I don't know anything more rock solid regarding prayer in the Bible than this line of truth. And John's not the first one who says it, and it's committed to preserve Scripture. Jesus said it first. John 14, 13 and 14. "And whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And then, sort of, and in case you weren't listening, "If you ask anything in My name, I will do it." You'd have to have help to misunderstand that, wouldn't you? Clear. Crystal clear. Jesus hears. We say, "Well, I've asked prayers and I thought they were right. I thought they were what would honor God." And He said, "No." So have I. There's two things about that. We may not have been, we may think so, but we may not have been asking according to His will. Because that's what John says here, and Jesus really says the same thing even more clearly when He says, "Whatsoever you ask in My name." Now, as I've told you before, that means more than simply ending our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. You need to do that. Bunyan said, "There are some who entertain the notion that because God is love, they can reach Him without going through the Son, but without the shedding of blood, there's no remission." And Jesus Himself said it. "No man comes to the Father but through Me." So that's the first thing. May not have really been praying according to His will and according to His name, even though we thought so. That's when we need to go back and kind of reanalyze our praying. The other thing is that ultimately God will answer according to His perfect will. And you know what? It doesn't bother God, it doesn't unsettle Him if His perfect will runs counter to our desired will. Not a bit. Because again, as it said, His will is perfect. Ours is not. So yes, we regularly say, "Well, I ask God for this and everything I could see, evidentially wise, it would glorify Him, it'd be good. But He said no." Then we submit ourselves to a wise and loving God who knows much better than we do. The good thing about it is that many times, though it's not a guarantee, but many times down the road we can look back and see why God said no, and we're glad. You've had that happen, I'm sure. I certainly have. Now, again, He's not obligated to do that for us. But if you don't get it clear down here, guess what? You'll get it clear at home. All things will be made manifest there. So yes, those prayers we thought were so good and right and God said no to, if you don't ever know anything else this side of glory, you'll know then. It'll be all right, won't it? It'll be all right. Jesus, gentle and approachable, easy to be entreated. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to do something to convince God to hear us? Isn't it amazing love that enables us anytime to go right into the throne room of the thrice holy God who is Spirit and an enfolding fire around him, as Ezekiel saw, and come right in and say, "Father, I need something. I need something." And have him say, "What is it? What do you need, son?" Coming through Christ, we always have a hearing. Not to come through Christ, we have none. He is ever living to make intercession for us. I mentioned that last week. Understand that Christ is always praying for you. Always. So even if you feel like nobody else is on earth, remember that Jesus is. He's easy to be entreated. He's approachable. Because He is the wisdom from above. So, pray and don't faint. Didn't Jesus say that? Was it said of Him as He told the story about the... people call it the parable of the importunate widow. But really, it's the parable of the unjust judge, if you think about it. And like what He said in Matthew about... if you being evil give good gifts to your children. In the same way, the unjust judge says, look, this person doesn't deserve anything. And I don't care. But she's wearing me down. So I'm going to grant a request just so I can get some rest. Now, that's not meant to picture God. It's an exact opposite. It's diametrically opposed to God. How much more will He avenge His own elect who cry to Him day and night, right? If the unjust judge said that, we have a just judge. And we have a gentle and approachable Savior. Let's bow our heads.